Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to be looking in chapters 10 and 11 this morning, but let me, by way of orienting you to the passage that we'll be looking at, remind you that we're looking at the life of Peter. We're looking at his example of faith and the work of God in his life. And you'll recall last time we looked at Peter's speech, his appearance before the Sanhedrin when they tried to silence him because he was declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so back in chapter 5, we saw that there was no stopping Peter. He continued to proclaim the good news of what God had done for us in Christ Jesus. Now, there's more of what Peter does prior to this, including as the gospel spread down to Samaria, Peter was sent to sort of verify what was going on and to pray for the new believers there that they would receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which had not yet come. And that occurred. And so the Samaritans were clearly included in the family of God. But now over in chapter 10, this is God's word. Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come to me. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its 4 corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw 4-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened 3 times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, 3 men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These 6 brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown.
Folks, it is virtually impossible for most of us to imagine what a radical thing this was. How difficult it was, first for Peter, and then for Peter's friends and associates. To the Jews, there was an understanding that they were the people of God, and that the Gentiles were all cut off from God, without hope, the Bible describes us. We were without hope. There was no hope of being reconciled to God, because apart from his provision of the Messiah, no one can be saved. But when Jesus came, he didn't just come for the Jews. He came for those whom God had chosen before the creation of the world for faith in him. And as Peter is serving God, God totally, radically rocks his world. God does something that catches him completely off guard. He's up on the roof waiting for lunch. Okay? And suddenly he falls into a trance. He comes into a visionary state and in that situation sees something that makes no sense to him. An enormous sheet being let down out of heaven filled with all kinds of animals, including a lot of stuff that is unclean. Basically, what he was looking at was forbidden food. And God was the one who put it before him. Not as a temptation, but as an education. God caused him to see this, and God spoke to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter, recognizing the voice of God, says, surely not, Lord. It's not the first time he said that, and the last time he got in trouble for it. This time, he says, surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. It happened 3 times, and all 3 times the Lord told him, don't you call something unclean that I have made clean. Notice that I have made clean. What was going to make Cornelius and his household clean? God. God is the one who saves. God is the one who sets apart. God is the one who was saying, I have made these people clean, and therefore you're to go. So while he's trying to figure out what's going on, some travelers arrive at his door, at the door of the place where he's staying, and they're looking for him. And the Holy Spirit tells him, I've sent these folks, go with them. So he goes. When he gets to Cornelius' house, what is the focus of his message? Who does he focus on? His entire message is about Jesus. And he says, now you folks already have some familiarity with this. But he still goes through and he tells them clearly the gospel. And it builds to its crescendo when he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Okay? Jesus died for us and rose again, and he is the one through whom God is going to judge the earth, and he's the only one through whom we can be saved. And he will save all those who trust in him. So he's proclaiming the gospel to him, but he doesn't get to give an invitation. Because while he's still preaching, the Holy Spirit falls upon these folks, comes upon them in power, and they begin to evidence that by speaking in other languages. They begin to speak in tongues. And Peter and the guys with him are blown away, not because they've never seen people speak in tongues. Oh, that's weird. What's going on? No. The reason they're shocked is because they've never seen Gentiles do that. God had done this for the Jews at the day of Pentecost. But now, they're seeing Gentiles. I'm not sure that's all right. I'm not sure that that should happen. Well, of course, it was God. And Peter says, how could I oppose what God was doing? Folks, there are several things I want us to see about this experience in Peter's life. First of all, the fact that all of this was being orchestrated by God. God was the one who sent the angel to Cornelius' house and told him to send for Peter. God was the one who sent a vision to Peter, gave it to him three times so that it was clear testimony. That would absolutely reinforce it, not just by repetition, but by the Jewish understanding of what makes something credible. Two or three witnesses. Three times he has the same vision repeated. And it's very clear, and Peter knows it's God. He just doesn't know what it means. Then God shows him what it means by telling him, you're to go with these guys who've come to your home. When he gets there and is doing what God has told him to do, God steps in and sends the Holy Spirit upon these folks in such a way that there is no doubt left in Peter's mind as to whether or not this is of God. And so very, very clearly, unmistakably, God has worked all of this out, and Peter simply has to bear testimony as to what has happened. He doesn't have to try and figure it out. God has done everything that was necessary in order to make it clear, and this is God's doing. That's point number one, is that this is God's doing. Secondly, God chose and still today chooses to work through people. This is not efficient. I want you to see that God sends an angel to Cornelius' house. And the angel says, send for Peter. Gives him the name of the guy Peter's staying with, where the house is located, not only the city, but the landscape. Okay? He could have just as easily given him the gospel. The name angel, the word angel, means messenger. So why didn't the messenger get to deliver the message? Because it wasn't his job. God wanted Peter to deliver the message. But God sends a vision to prepare Peter and only tells him as much as he needs to know in order for him to do what comes next. He doesn't get the whole thing. God could have sent a messenger, an angel, to Peter and said, I want you to go to the house of a man named Cornelius. He'll be expecting you. And when you get there, you're to preach the gospel, and then I'm going to pour out the Spirit on those folks, and they're going to be really transformed. God didn't tell him that, because he didn't need to know that at the time. All he needed to know was that you're not to call impure or unclean what I've made clean. And you're to go with these men. That was it. So God told him what he needed to know in order for him to go and do what the Lord had ordained. But God chooses to work through human agency. That's his plan. I would not have recommended it. For one thing, people mess up. Okay? Peter's going to get it right in chapters 10 and 11. He's going to get it wrong several chapters later. It's alluded to, but not explicit in the book of Acts the way it is in the book of Galatians. But what happens in Antioch is going to create such a controversy that it's really a sad thing. God has chosen to work through humans, even though we are unreliable and messy. Amazing. That's his plan. That's the pattern. God works through people. The next point. Point number one was that it was God who's at work. Point number two is that God chooses to use the inefficient method of working through people. And then thirdly, whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile, it is essential that they come through faith in Christ. The fellow Cornelius was a good man. Look at it, the beginning of chapter 10. Look at what he was like. He was a military officer in the Roman army. Verse 2, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. He's devout. He's very sincere. He is, that means he's devoted to God. He wants to serve God. And he prays. He's a man of prayer. And he gives. He's generous in his giving. Now, what more could anybody ask? Shouldn't God just go ahead and say, he's in. He doesn't know about Jesus, but that's okay. He's a good guy. I mean, he's devout. He fears God. That puts him way ahead of a lot of people. But it's not enough. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nobody is going to be saved apart from Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ isn't a really positive feature that some people get to enter into. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. But I want you to see something else. Look at the lengths to which God is willing to go in order to make sure that this guy hears the gospel. God is willing to go to great lengths in order that people might come to faith in Jesus Christ. In order that people might hear the message, the only message that offers real hope. Peter went on a journey because God sent him to bring the good news. I don't know how far God might send you, but I do know that there are still people around us who have not heard, and we ought to be faithful where we are. So you and I need to come back to him and say, Lord, you show me what you want me to do. Make me faithful. And you know what? God will use unreliable, messy people like us in order to do what he alone can do. The supernatural work of saving, transforming the lives that he has chosen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.